Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and I want you to look with me this morning in verse 20 through 24. The Bible says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." This morning we're going to consider this thought: how can I be right with God? How can I be right with God? Last week, we learned again that in considering these verses in Romans chapter 3, we looked at verses 10 through 20. But in these verses last week, we learned again that mankind, you and I, were rotten to the core in our heart. And there is nothing good about us. And the Bible was very clear on this. And we consider these next verses, but before we get to them, I want you to turn over to Job chapter 25 with me. Job chapter 25, because in Job 25, there's a great question that is asked here. In Job 25, in verse 4 is the question: how then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Here's a great question that is asked, and probably the most important question any person could ever ask. And that's this: how can I be right with God? More specifically, how can a sinner such as I be right with God, who is absolutely righteous and absolutely holy? Most, if not all, religions will teach that, including even some Christian ones, like the Roman Catholics, for example, they'll teach and believe that a person gets right with God through their works, through the things that they do. Every religion is man's effort to be reconciled to God by earning favor with God. But real Christianity is God reconciling sinful men to himself apart from our good works, apart from what we do. God sent his eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty that we deserve so that we can be right with him through his grace, through trusting in Jesus Christ. And this question of how can I be right with God is really the question that Paul is answering back in Romans chapter 3 in the verses that we've read this morning, verses 20 through 24. This is the question that Paul is finally answering in our text. How can I be right with God? And I say he's finally answering this because if you remember back, this all the way back to chapter 1 and verse 18, Paul started a discourse in chapter 1. Go back over there in verse 18. He said in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." So from chapter 1 and verse 18 all the way up through chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul has been forcefully driving home the point that all people, whether they're Gentiles, whether they're Jews, whether they're religious, whether they're not, that all people are under sin and guilty before God. He spent a long time on this subject, especially hitting those religious Jews with their self-righteousness, because he knew that unless we feel the weight of our own sin and condemnation,
we're not going to appreciate the need for the gospel. We need to understand the bad news, which is our sinfulness and our corruptness and our rottenness and our unrighteousness and the condemnation that comes because of it. We need to understand that before we're going to come to the good news of the gospel. And that's what Paul is answering here. He lays out this case before these people that all men are under sin. It doesn't matter who you are, we're all condemned. He lays out this case very clearly and then answers the question, how then can I be right with God? Paul referred to the gospel back in chapter 1 in verse 16. Look over there with me. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein," in what? In the gospel, "is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So Paul here mentions the gospel, and he mentions salvation, and he mentions believing on Jesus Christ, and he mentions the righteousness of God that is revealed in the gospel. But now he comes back to that very theme in chapter 3 in verse 21, mentioning again the righteousness of God being made known. Look at this, chapter 3, 21. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." And he says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." He says, the righteousness of God is made known. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. And why is there no difference? Verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The word "for" means because. He says, the righteous, in verse 22, "the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." Why is there no difference? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why there's no difference. And just as Paul has laid out from chapter 1 and verse 18 all the way through chapter 3 and verse 20, that there is inescapable condemnation for all men, even so, there's a need for every man to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And so in our text, Paul shows here, listen, he shows here that if salvation depended upon our works, we would face two impossible barriers. Those impossible barriers would be the righteousness of God and the glory of God. How can we that have sinned, who are condemned, who are unrighteous, be reconciled to the righteous God of all glory? How can we have, those of us who have dishonored Him, how can we enter into His holy presence when we're rotten to the core? Well, the good news is that sinners can be right with God. But it's through faith in Jesus Christ and His gracious sacrifice to redeem us. It's crucial that we understand three main thoughts here this morning in our text. And by the way, we're probably not going to be done before noon. If you want to be done before noon, there's numerous other churches in this area that you can attend who probably will be done before noon. It probably would be easier to change the name of brunch to something else than to be done before noon. So, there you go. Three thoughts that we want to consider this morning. Number one is we all need to be right with God because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The second thought is that sinners can be right with God, but apart from the law of God. And the third thought is that all sinners can be right with God through God's free grace by trusting in Jesus Christ and the redemption that is in Him. Three main thoughts. Number one, we all need to be right with God because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now the question that comes to mind is, why would Paul bring this up again after he's just spent 2.5 chapters hammering home this point. He says in verse 22, the second part of verse 22, he says, "There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." He says it again here because he knows how prone we all are, especially those of religious backgrounds, maybe to minimize the issue of sin and to justify our sin somehow by the good things that we do. But the main issue still is that how can we possibly be right with a righteous God when we're sinners? There's no room for minimizing sin. There's no justification for it. You know, when some people present the gospel, they want to talk about God's love. They want to talk about God's mercy. They want to talk about all those things, you know, that make us feel good. But Paul is mainly concerned to talk about God's righteousness and our sinfulness or lack of righteousness. He mentions the word righteousness here in verse 21, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest." Look at verse 22. "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ." Look at verse 25. "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past." Verse 26. "To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness." He mentions God's righteousness over and over and over in this text compared to the unrighteousness of sinful men. He mentions the word justify in verse 24, being justified freely by His grace. Verse 26, "To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." He mentions the word just in verse 26. That God might be just. What's interesting is that in Greek, all of these words, righteousness, justify, just, they all come from the very same root word. And God's righteousness refers to God's absolute holiness and separation from all sin and all wrongdoing. But the context that Paul is writing in here especially refers to how sinners can be justified. You know what that means? How do sinners become right with God? How do sinners become holy and separate from all sin? The word justified here means to be declared righteous in God's sight. Look at verse 20. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." Verse 22, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe." Paul is talking about sinners being righteous in God's eyes. Now, we looked in our study last time that God's law is not able to justify anyone. Rather, God's law condemns us by pointing out all the ways that we violate God's law and God's holy standard. And since we're all guilty of breaking God's law, listen, we all have to face this crucial question: how can I be right with a righteous God in view of my sin? Both pagan, both religious, non-religious people have sinned and need to be right with God. And Paul, that's why Paul says there is no difference. He means there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile. Why? Because we've all sinned. And you know what? All those Jews would have wholeheartedly agreed with Paul. Yep, those Gentiles, those pagans, yep, they're under sin. But Paul labored through chapter 2 and most of chapter 3 to show that even the careful religious Jew is not able to keep God's holy standard. Therefore, we're all guilty. In other words, Paul says, "Hey, guys, just look around. Look around you. Look at yourselves. You'll see that there is no exception. We've all sinned. None of us can keep God's holy standard. And not only that, he says we come short of the glory of God. You know what that means in verse 23? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means to be deficient. It means to be inferior. It means to come behind. It means to be destitute of. We all are deficient. We all are destitute. We're all inferior to the glory of God. The word is also in the present tense, and it means that we are consistently sinning. We're constantly falling short. We're constantly deficient and destitute of God's glory, never to attain it in and of ourselves. You know what? That's bad news. Because Paul has just laid it out. That we are all guilty, we're all sinners, we can't keep God's standard, we can't keep God's law, there's no way to measure up to God's righteousness, we constantly fall short, never to attain it. That is bad news for you and for me. But even as Paul gives this bad news, there's a hint of good news in it. If God's law condemns us all as sinners, how can we possibly escape that? Right? If God's law condemns us all as sinners and we all break God's holy standard, never to measure up, how can we possibly escape that? Well, the good news is in verse 21. Because he says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Here's the second thought today, that sinners can be right with God apart from the law. Verse 20 states that the law can't put anyone in a right relationship with God. Look at it, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 20 tells us that the law can't put anybody in a right relationship with God. Rather, the law reveals God's holy standard, which only brings conviction and condemnation for us because of our sin. But verse 21 states that gaining a right relationship with the Lord is without the law. Look at verse 21. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Gaining right standing with God is without the law. And what he means is that gaining a right standing with God is apart from keeping the law as an attempt to be right with God. You understand that? Without the law, apart from the law, outside of the law, having a right relationship with God is outside of, apart from keeping the law as a way to be right with God. The Jew might say, well, then, if that's true, because they had all of these religious practices and ceremonies, and they believed in keeping the law, they would say, well, if that's true, if having a right relationship with God is apart from the law, well, then aren't you saying then that that is in contradiction to the Scriptures? In opposition to the law of God? Then Paul says, no, actually, it's witnessed by the law and the prophets, meaning the whole Old Testament. And Paul adds this phrase here to show these Jewish readers and these Jewish people that he's not overthrowing the Scriptures at all. Rather, he's reinforcing it. Look at verse 31. Paul says, do we then make void or nullify the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. He says, in fact, we're simply reinforcing it. Do we make void or do we nullify the law through faith? No way. May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. And he goes on to illustrate this in chapter 4 with the example of Abraham, who is justified by faith and not by works. Look at verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Amen. He backs all of that up with Psalm 32, where David exalts in the blessings of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Look at verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. So Paul basically says, you would be mistaken if you think that the Old Testament taught that sinners got right with God by keeping the law. But now, in the New Testament, that is overthrown, and we are right with God only by faith. In the Old Testament, God credited His righteousness to sinners who by faith looked ahead to the promised Messiah. Now that Messiah has been revealed, He's Jesus Christ. And we today look back to the promise that God made and fulfilled in Jesus Christ by faith. And the point is that salvation has always been by faith. It's never been by works in the Old Testament and the New. And Paul is saying then, he's saying here to these Jewish people, he says that salvation by the deeds of the law, no flesh is going to be justified in His sight. But now, apart from the law, outside of the law, the righteousness of God is revealed by faith in Jesus Christ. And it's witnessed by the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets pointed to this. Never did they say that salvation was by keeping the law. The law of God's not void and nullified by faith. No, it's established. It's reinforced. So just to paraphrase Paul's flow of thought here, he says trying to keep God's law isn't going to get anybody into a right standing with God. Rather, the law just shows how sinful we are. So now, apart from the law, but in line with what the Scriptures teach, God declares sinners righteous when they believe on Jesus Christ, who is the final sacrifice for sin. You following this line of thinking? Because now we're going to talk about the third point, and we're going to spend the rest of our time here today. You got the background of what Paul is saying here. This leads us to this third thought, that all sinners can be right with God because of God's free grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see the difference here? No one's ever worked for salvation. Salvation's always been by faith. We're all sinners. We're all condemned. We can't get around that. But salvation is outside of the law, apart from the law, and it's only through God's grace and the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul has stated over and over and over again that all have sinned. Amen? We all agree with that? Well, it would be pointless for Paul to write about a way of being right with God then that didn't apply to all men and all sinners. But, ironically, it's those who don't see themselves as sinners who actually miss God's way of righteousness. In other words, if you don't think you're sick, you're not going to go to the doctor. You're not going to take the medicine. And the point is that, listen, we have to accept the diagnosis that we're all sinners before we'll come to the cure, which is God's grace and His redemption. He's talking to Jews who were very, very religious, who didn't think that they were sick. And he lays this out for them very clearly, that their good works and trying to keep the law of God, it's never going to justify them in God's sight. You're not right with God. But you can be right with God, but it's only through faith. To understand this good news, it's a very, very simple thing, yet it's very profound. It's simple enough that a child can understand it, yet it's so profound that there have been thousands and thousands and thousands of pages of written about theology concerning these very verses right here. Paul uses some real important theological words in verses 22 and 24. Look with them with me here. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He uses some real important theological words here, and we need to understand four terms. We need to understand the word justification. We need to understand free grace. We need to understand redemption, and we need to understand faith. All of these words Paul mentions here. He says in verse 22, the righteousness of God is by faith. Verse 24, he says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What question are we asking here? How can I be right with God? And we've pointed out the fact that all have sinned, all are guilty, there's condemnation for all men. We can't get around that. It's not through keeping the law of God. It's not through good works. So how can I be right with God? He says that sinners can be justified. The word justify or justified or justification means that God declares us to be righteous. The word righteous means to be innocent, to be free from all wrongdoing, to be free from sin. All right? So no flesh will be justified in His sight through the keeping of the law. But verse 24 says, being justified freely by His grace. Sinners can be justified by the grace of God. The word justified means to be declared righteous or to be declared innocent and free. Now, to justify does not mean to make someone righteous, but to declare someone to be righteous. The word that's used is a forensic or legal term that means to obtain the verdict of acquittal. Justification is pronouncing one to be just or to be free, to be innocent, to be righteous, and treating him accordingly, just as if he'd never sinned, on the grounds that the demands of the law have been satisfied concerning him. All right, so you following me? Being justified is being declared to be righteous. It doesn't mean to make somebody righteous, but to declare them righteous. It's a legal term. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 25, in verse 1, we don't have the time to look at it. It talks about judges in the nation of Israel who would decide a case where they would justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. They would pronounce the verdict not guilty on the righteous and pronounce the verdict of guilty on the wicked. They didn't make the accused righteous or wicked. Rather, they simply pronounced them to be such. This is what justification is. Being justified or being declared righteous, being declared free and innocent of wrongdoing by the Lord. In Romans 3:24, the verse we're considering here, the verb is passive. It's something that God does to us and not something that we do for ourselves. It's not a process, but it's a judicial action. So understand this, being justified, being declared righteous by God. How can I be right with God? I'm a sinner. I'm guilty. We've all sinned. We've all come short. We're all condemned. How can I get around that? Being justified or being declared free from sin by the grace of God. It's God pronouncing this righteousness or declaring us to be righteous in His eyes. Now, verse 24, he says, being justified freely by His grace. So we can be declared righteous or free and innocent freely by His grace. The word freely is the Greek word dorian, and it means gratuitously. It means without a cause. All right, so are you following the process here? We're answering the question, how can I be right with God when I'm guilty and I'm a sinner? I can be justified or declared to be righteous freely by His grace. I can be declared to be righteous in God's eyes without a cause, freely. Jesus used this same word in John chapter 15. Go back over there with me in John 15. John 15 and verse 25. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled, that it is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. It's the same word that is used here, without a cause. And so Jesus says, they hated me without a cause. I didn't do anything to deserve it, and they hated me. All right? Now, carry that same sense into Romans 3:24. Being justified freely without a cause by His grace. Being justified even though I didn't deserve it, freely. Understand? Paul used that same word, the same Greek word, dorian, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Go there with me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 8. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. The word naught here is that same Greek word, dorian, translated as freely. We didn't eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Paul says that we actually worked. And we weren't chargeable to anyone, okay? He says we worked hard for it. We didn't eat any man's bread freely. The word is the same word, basically, that means without paying for it. And so when we take that and we translate that over into Romans 3:24, being justified freely without paying for it, without a cause, not deserving it, without paying for it. Are you with me? Are you following what I'm saying here? All right? So we can be declared righteous in God's sight, even though we didn't deserve it, and even though we didn't pay for it. Okay? The word is used again in Revelation 22. Go over there with me. Revelation chapter 22. Look at verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Here, the thirsty soul is encouraged to take the water of life freely. It means without a cost. And so, listen, we're justified without a cost. It's completely free. We're justified even though we didn't deserve it, without a cause. We're justified even though we didn't pay for it. We're justified with no cost at all. It's completely free. How am I right with God? My works can't make me right with God, but I can be declared righteous by God's free grace. I didn't deserve it. I didn't pay for it. It doesn't cost me a thing. As if that word alone weren't enough to convey this amazing, amazing truth, Paul adds something else to it. He says, not only is it free, but God freely gives it by His grace. Grace is God's favor shown to those who deserve His wrath. God's favor that is completely unmerited. And you can see this by looking at Romans chapter 4, the next chapter there. Romans chapter 4. Paul is showing what this grace is. Not only is it free, without a cause, without paying for it, without a cost, but it's by His grace. His grace is His favor shown to those who deserve wrath. And look at verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Here he says in verse 4, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. In other words, what he's saying is, and if we could illustrate it with our terminology here today, when you work your job, you don't get grace, you get wages, all right? You work, you put the time in, your boss owes you that money, and he must pay you, or you could file legal charges against him. But that's not grace. That's a wage. Grace is the opposite of working and receiving what you're owed. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about being right with God. We're talking about not being able to keep the law of God and working and then thereby earning God's favor. No, it's the opposite of that. With grace, you get undeserved favor. With grace, you get unmerited favor. In other words, let's refer back to the job. What you deserve is you deserve to get fired from your job because you messed up. But not only does your boss not fire you, he gives you a huge bonus on top of it. That is grace. God justifies sinners who deserve his wrath freely by his grace. And the bonus is eternal life. We deserve wrath, but God doesn't give us that. Not only does he not kill us because of our sin, but he gives us eternal life on top of it. Unmerited favor. Not something we work for. And listen, this is awesome, awesome news if you're the guilty sinner. It's awesome news for you to be declared innocent freely of his grace. But I want you to think with me here. How can that possibly seem right? I mean, if we're guilty of the crime, if we're guilty because of the sin, how can it possibly seem right for God not to give us what we really deserve and on top of that, give us a huge bonus? Amen. How can that possibly seem right? I mean, think with me here. Let's just imagine a real life situation. If there's an earthly judge who declares a guilty murderer not guilty, all the evidence is against him. It is there for all to see. There is no escaping it. There's no getting around it. He is guilty. He did it. Now, if this earthly judge declares this murderer not guilty, but in addition to that, he gives him a healthy judgment. He gives him a great reward. And then he says, you know, I just wanted to give it to you. I just wanted to give you this $3 million, even though you caused pain and anguish for all kinds of people. Not only are you not guilty, I want to give you $3 million on top of it. What would we say to that? We would say, that's not just. That's not justice. That's not fair. You can't do that. And yet God declares guilty sinners to be justified when they don't deserve it. How can this possibly seem right? Well, verse 24 says that God justifies sinners. He declares them to be righteous through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Here's the next word that we need to understand, the word redemption. The word means to buy something back by the payment of a price. It means to release by the payment of a ransom. Now, in Paul's day, it referred to freeing prisoners of war and slaves by paying what is the required price. Jesus used this same Greek word, but it's translated as ransom in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, where Jesus says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." It's the same word as redemption. Through his death, Jesus paid the price or the penalty that God righteously imposes for our sin. And so God can be just, and his justice is satisfied because Jesus is our substitute, paying what we should have paid. And so we can go free at His great expense. In other words, justification, or being declared righteous, being declared innocent, it's completely free for us, but very costly to Jesus Christ, who redeemed us with His own blood. He bought us back. He released us by paying the ransom price, which was His blood. In the Old Testament, the chief picture of redemption was the nation of Israel being freed from slavery in Egypt. And to avoid the death of the firstborn, what they had to do was kill the Passover lamb and put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts and the lintels of their houses. And when the Lord saw the blood, He would pass over them and they would be spared. Listen, that is a picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb who was slain to redeem us from slavery to sin. He paid the price that God required. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And in that way, because of that, God can be both just and the justifier of those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 26. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. How can it possibly be that God could declare guilty sinners as righteous? How could God be just in doing that when we're so guilty of violating His law? He can do it through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who bought us back, who set us free from the slavery of our sin. Is God just? Yes, He's just, because the penalty and the price was paid. But that leads us to the last word. And the last word is faith, or believe. And this word is the key to the question, how can I be right with God? God justifies sinners, or declares sinners to be righteous, by faith in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. The word by here, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. The word by means through. So even the righteousness of God, which is through faith of Jesus Christ. It's through the faith in Jesus Christ that I can be right with God. Jesus Christ becomes the object of my faith. Now, it's not enough to just have a general faith in God, a general belief in God. The devils believe in God too. No, you must specifically put our trust and our faith in Jesus Christ and what He did for you on the cross of Calvary. He's the object of our faith. Then Paul says that it's unto all and upon all them that believe. So salvation or justification, being declared righteous, is through faith, but it's unto all and upon all them that believe. Now, is Paul being redundant when he says this? That salvation or justification is through faith, that's believing, and it's unto all and upon all them that believe. Is he being redundant when he says that? No, he's not. The righteousness of God comes through faith in Jesus Christ, and it's for all who believe. The first phrase, by faith, shows that faith is not works. It's not something that merits us salvation, but rather it's simply the hand that receives the gift. There are people who say that faith is man's work, you know, to get them to salvation. People say that repentance is man's work in order to get them to salvation. No. Faith is not a work. It's not something that merits us salvation. It's simply the hand that receives the gift. I believe it. The last phrase, unto all and upon all them that believe, simply underscores the universal offer of God's grace. In other words, no sinner needs to despair that he's too far gone, that he's done too much, that his life is over because he's such a rotten person. Anybody who believes in what Jesus Christ did for them through that redemption can be justified by God, can be declared righteous by God. It's by God's free grace. I didn't deserve it. I didn't pay for it. It doesn't cost me anything. It's unmerited favor. But it's through the redemption that's in Christ. So how can you and I, as sinners, be right with God, who is absolutely holy, who is absolutely set apart from sin, when you and I are so guilty and condemned because of our sin? Well, it's impossible to be right with God by striving to be a good person or by attempting to keep God's law. That's impossible. The law only reveals how far short of God's glory we fall. Remember that illustration we used last week of someone trying to jump from Hawaii over to the mainland? Remember that? And the really fit person might get 25 feet. The average person might get 10 or 12 feet. The really unfit person, out of shape person may only be able to step into the water. But in the whole scope of things, when you stand back and look at it, none of them are even anywhere close. The law simply shows us how far short we fall of God's glory. It's impossible to attain God's glory. Listen, we are either going to be lost by trying to get to heaven on our own and by our good deeds, or we're going to be justified, declared to be righteous by trusting in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. The good news and the thought that every saint of God should rejoice in right now, and the thought that every sinner, every unsaved person should grab onto and rejoice in right now, is that although we've all sinned and we all fall short of God's glory, freely, by His grace, He declares us to be righteous if we'll put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ and the redemption that He purchased for us. I know how rotten I am. But God can declare me to be free, to be innocent, clear of all wrongdoing, just as if I'd never sinned. He can do that? Yeah, He can do it. Through faith in the redemption. Paid what I should have paid. And He's done it free, without a cause. I didn't deserve it. I don't pay for it. Because of unmerited favor. And He's totally just in doing it. Amen. Because He who knew no sin became sin for me. Saints of God, you ought to rejoice today. You're free. And not only are you free from the guilt of sin, man, you've got eternal life when all you are is rotten to the core. Rejoice in that great truth. Amen. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, God's wrath is still abiding on you. But He can declare you righteous today if you'll put your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did for you. You deserve his wrath. You deserve his judgment. But because he loved you, he sent Jesus Christ to pay what you should pay. Isn't God good? What a great and an awesome, awesome God he is. So deep. In the slave market of sin, condemned, he shed his blood to buy us back and to set us free when we don't deserve it. God's grace, it's amazing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you that we can be right with God. Sinful, wicked, horrible, rotten to the core sinners can be right with God through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. When there's a free offer of God's grace and a gift like this, why would anybody want to hold on to their pride and try to work their way to earn favor with God when it's so impossible? Father, I pray this morning for those who've never been saved. There are some in this room. Father, may they see again or see clearly the wickedness of their own heart, their sinfulness, their condemnation. May it weigh heavy on their soul. May they see that they're sick so they can come to the cure. And by faith in what Jesus Christ did on their behalf, receive the gift of salvation. Lord, we love you. So thankful for this great salvation in Christ. That we can know that we have peace with God. I pray that you'd accomplish now your purpose in Jesus' name.